Christmas, or happy holidays, or bah humbug. Depending on where you are, you'll hear different phrases. During this season, there are those who are very festive and joyful and excited about the reason for the season. And there are those who are just ambivalent. They don't really care. And then you find those who are kind of like the Grinch. We got to do this again. It just costs money, takes time. They take my parking spaces at the mall, you know, just all kinds of craziness. And it starts, well, really, it used to start like the day after Thanksgiving. Now it starts like a month, you know, before Halloween. I mean, it's just this crazy season. Now, does anybody know any Grinches? Anybody you really don't want to touch with a 39 and a half foot pole? Now, if you're sitting next to them, don't bug them, because they could go off at any time. You never know. But there is this time that we're so much celebrating, but realize that some people, they're just not excited about Christmas. And maybe there are valid reasons. Maybe they lost a loved one during this time. And all it does is remind them of their loss. And so they get more despondent. They just get more depressed. There are others who just, they're always crabby about everything. You know, just nothing could be good. I mean, if you find something good, they'll find something bad about it. I just understand that. Sometimes it's because they've been hurt by someone. You know, they didn't get the gift that they wanted, or maybe they got coal in their stocking or whatever, and they're just mad about circumstances, and they feel like, just, I can't be happy about anything, you know, because of what the hurt that's happened to me. Well, I'm going to show you in the scripture today a Grinch, the first Grinch at the first Christmas, and we'll kind of walk through his life. But I want us to consider, before we get into the passage, those who might not be planning on celebrating Christmas with a Christ focus. Those who might be just kind of going through the season, maybe they're festive about everything but Jesus Christ during this year. And when you walked in this morning, I had a couple of volunteers giving out these little cards. If you got one of the cards, just hold that up. I want to make sure that we got them out. We'll have others in the lobby. But on the front side of the card, it says, "The light of Christmas brings hope." Inside, it talks about things that we're inviting them to, but specifically, it has our growth groups on Sunday morning and worship service. But I wanted to advertise the Christmas Eve service. There are a lot of people who are not giving any thought to Jesus Christ this holiday season, and even inviting them to a Sunday morning service, they're like, oh, it'll be long, it'll be boring. But one of the things I have found, even in our culture, people are willing to come to a Christmas Eve service. It's short, it's 45 minutes, not very long. You know, and there's some fun elements. My favorite part is just lighting the candle and being able to pass that along. Even if we drop some wax on the carpet, it's okay, it's worth the risk. But it's just a fun time. But I'm going to put a huge emphasis, even at our skate night. We have about 130 people who come to skate night, and many of them don't go to church anywhere. And so I'm inviting them to our Christmas Eve service. I think we can pack this place out. But it'll be one of those times that we can focus specifically on Christ and communicate the gospel to people who may not have any thought of Jesus during this season, but they need to know the truth of why he came and what he is doing for us that we could not do for ourselves. Would you commit to taking two of those cards, praying over them, and specifically inviting someone to the Christmas Eve service? Certainly you can invite them to tonight's festivities with the choir and the other presentations that will happen. Certainly you can invite them to Sunday morning. I want you to do that. But I think some people will be willing to take the risk and come to a 45-minute service where they know it's going to be kid-friendly, but they'll be able to hear the gospel. So I want you to consider doing that, because even the Grinches of the world need the big word that's on here, hope. None of us live without hope. We can live without air for a few moments. We can live without water for maybe a day. We can live without food for weeks, but we can't live without hope for a second. And Jesus is the hope that every person needs. So consider that. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We'll just look over this passage, and I want you to see this Grinch. I hope that the screen up here doesn't scare anybody. If you were to watch The Grinch That Stole Christmas, my preferred version is the cartoon from many years ago. But I think there's some gospel principles even in that movie that will show you what's really important. I mean, we live in a season where the fulfillment of prophecy. I love the verses like in Hebrews chapter 1. Just listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, this child born in Bethlehem, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. You know, throughout the histories, the Jews and others throughout the lands would hear from God through the prophets. But it clearly says, in different ways, it was through dreams and visions and messages and through the tablets, you know, that Moses brought down with the Ten Commandments. There were many ways in different places, but they still didn't get the message. And then Jesus was sent by God the Father as a baby, born in the manger, to live a perfect life in order to die the most sacrificial death that was for eternity, and he would never have to die again. And what Hebrews tells us is that, yes, you've heard the story many times throughout history, and now Jesus is the last messenger. If you don't get the message from Jesus, if you don't understand why he came, if you don't get it in this final chapter, there is no one else coming. There's no other messengers. There's no other book. Like the Book of Mormon is not an extension, a third message. No, there was the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, and Jesus Christ. There is no other third wave of information coming. Jesus is the final Word of God. If we miss the meaning of Christmas and his sacrificial death at Easter, then we've missed God's message of the gospel for us. So it's very important we understand why Jesus even came. In Galatians chapter 4, just listen to these words. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the precious promise that she, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The gospel, summarized in one verse, I've shared it here often, is Romans 6, 23. And think about this for Christmas. For the wages of sin was death. That's what we were left with. Our sin was leading us to eternal death and separation from God. But the free gift, at Christmas, we celebrate that free gift. That free gift of the Son who brings salvation. The gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how are you going to respond to this free gift? Not everybody responds the same way. Some will say, oh yeah, it's just that cute little thing they do at the church. Or yeah, we can set up a nativity scene in our front yard. Isn't that nice? But how are we going to truly respond to the free gift? The gift that God gave that first Christmas. It's the most precious gift ever given or will ever be given. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, let me just read verse 1 for a moment. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, now this is some time after his birth, he was born, but there was a season, perhaps a year, 18 months or so, that he was already growing into a toddler, if you will. And it says, born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, we'll get into the wise men in just a few moments, but I want us to understand Herod. Herod is the focus today of who the Grinch is. He is the first Grinch at the first Christmas. He was the one with the heart two sizes too small. He was the one who was not pleased about the things that were going on. I want you to understand who Herod is. Sometimes we'll read through the Bible quickly, not understanding the characters that are there. So let me give you a fuller explanation of who Herod is. So he's not just this individual. You'll read a few words here. Herod was the king. It was also known as Herod the Great. He is the first of several Herods mentioned in the New Testament. You'll see some other relatives along the way as you read through the New Testament. Julius Caesar himself had appointed Herod's father to be the governor. And later in 40 BC, Octavian and Antony declared Herod the king of the Jews. Isn't that interesting? 40 BC, he was known as the king of the Jews. And he wasn't Jewish. But he was a descendant of the Edomites. Herod actually married a Jewish woman to be more, so he could be more acceptable to the Jews that he was going to rule in this area. Herod was a cruel and merciless man. He was incredibly jealous. He was suspicious. He was afraid to lose his power and his position. Fearing potential threat, he had the high priest, which was his wife's brother, had him drowned to death. Which later he proved to be, which later he provided an elaborate funeral for his wife's brother and even began to cry at this, all for show for those who were around. I mean, he had the man killed and now he's putting on the show, oh, I'm so sad that he died. Herod later killed his own wife. He killed his mother-in-law. He had two of his own sons killed. Do you understand how wicked this man is? So when we read in chapter 2 that Jesus was born in the time of Herod, you understand he's not being born into a nice civilization of what's going on. It is a wicked time. As oppressed as you may feel sometimes by our own government or by the things that are going on in the world, understand things were much darker in these days. There was little hope. 5 days before Herod died, he had his third son executed just to keep his son from taking over. He was cruel. He was so cruel that he had the most distinguished citizens of Jerusalem arrested and imprisoned just before his own death. Herod assumed no one would mourn the day that he died, so he had others murdered so that there would be weeping at the same time that he was dead. This is a cruel man. Well, with that background, I want us to look at this Grinch in Matthew chapter 2. We'll see Herod, the worst kind of Grinch, hearing of the birth of Christ and how's his response. The reason I'm putting Herod on display today, because I think we're early enough in the season to help us evaluate our own lives. It's not just, oh, look how bad he is. But realize that without Christ, all of us can be that wicked. All of us can get cruel. All of us can respond inappropriately. All of us can get bitter about things. And I want us to not only evaluate Herod's life in the midst of the first Christmas, I want to evaluate our lives to see if we have tendencies that are Herod-like. If we have some habits, some temptations to make us more like the Grinch. So let's look at several principles here, and you can take notes in your bulletin if you've got one. So let's look at this first one. Let me read the first 6 verses. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Now, just to pause for a second, how many of you ever set up a nativity scene, either in your home or outside? And you've got the shepherds, and you know, you've got the little manger, you've got the star, you've got the kings there. It's such a pretty thing. We just put a whole display down in the Family Life Center for all the kids to see. That is actually an inaccurate portrait. The kings did not show up right after the birth of the baby. You know, and that's the last thing a woman typically wants. She births the baby and all these men come into the room. That's not what happened. All right, the shepherds came, and I think he was already wrapped in swaddling cloths, and she was covered. So the shepherds saw him that night, but it was a season of time, months after Jesus had been born, that this enters the scene. But I know to put it all together, it makes it nice for a nativity scene to have these wise men. But like I said, Jesus was a toddler by this time. They were no longer in the manger. They were probably living in a house there in Bethlehem. So the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, and they said this in verse 2, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The surprise here was that all of a sudden they saw the star. These wise men who were not kings, though we sing often, "We three kings of Orient are." They're not kings, they're wise men. Really, they're astrologers. They see the star and they go, That's a star given by God. He has brought his king. It's about God's king, not about these three kings. And they're wanting to see the surprise of the star put in their heart. We need to go and worship. That's exciting. Don't we love surprises? I was surprised the other day, actually. I took my wife to the movies on Friday. We have a standing date time, and once in a blue moon, I'll take her to the movies, and we went to the new movie theater up in Peachtree Corners, and I tell you what, you ought to go there. They didn't pay me to say this, but they have recliners. You can actually pay to sleep if you want to. I mean, literally, you can be completely, like, you know, horizontal. So I'm sitting there, and we're watching this movie, Mockingjay. From the Hunger Games series. I'm not endorsing the movie necessarily, but I wanted to see the last one because we'd seen the others. And I'm watching it, and they're having a wedding ceremony in the movie. And all of a sudden, you hear this violin going. And the next thing I saw was Eric Rostad playing the violin in the movie. Now, do you know Eric Rostad? He used to stand right over here about 6 months ago, and his wife would sing and play guitar, and Eric was doing this. He was the guy playing in the movie. Is that cool? Did anybody know that before today? I had no idea, and I'm seeing it. And I go, that's Eric. And Jennifer goes, oh, yeah, I didn't tell you. She's known for some time. I don't know. It was exciting. I'm thinking, the guy in the movie. Now, nobody knows his name. He was on there for like 10 seconds, but that's more than I've ever been in a movie. So, I mean, it was cool. So he got an opportunity to be there. So I was surprised. It was exciting. All right, so not everybody gets excited about Jesus coming, though. I want you to see the passage. So they're excited. They've traveled from a long distance, and they've come to worship. When they see what God does, they were prepared to come and worship. But verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Christmas is coming. Some get excited. They desire to worship. Some, like Herod the Grinch, was troubled. And it says, all Jerusalem with him. I'm not 100% sure that last phrase, why it's in there, but I'm going to speculate just for a moment. Everybody knew that Herod was known as king of the Jews. Everybody knew how wicked and corrupt and cruel Herod was. And as these wise men were coming from the east and coming, I'm sure they went around the town and says, do you guys know where the king of the Jews is? We've seen a star. There's a birth of a new king of the Jews. Do you know where he is? And everybody, no. Herod's the king of the Jews. Herod's the king of the Jews. They knew if Herod got word of this, they're all in trouble. Because Herod did not want to lose his power. And so I would think that when Herod is upset, all Jerusalem's going to be upset because it's not going to go down very well. So go on to verse 4. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, Herod being the Grinch here, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So when the wise men heard this, they're very excited. They want to go and worship. When Herod hears this, he is very troubled. Here's one of the observations I make of the text. You know you're a Grinch, like Herod, if you get upset when others invade your territory. So what was taking place? It didn't matter to Herod probably if this king was being born out in the east, anywhere else, but not here. Not where I control the world. Not where I am the ruler. Not where I am the king of my own territory. The reason he's so upset is because Jesus was entering his territory, and he's about to take over. You're a Grinch when you get upset when others invade your territory. You're at a job, and they brought in somebody new that maybe has a little more expertise or something they can add value to, and you get offended. I'm upset. No, it's only about me. Some will even do that when Christ enters their world. They've got everything under control, and even though it's beginning to fall apart, then all of a sudden Christ, the message of the gospel, comes in, and rather than receiving it gratefully, they get angry, and they push that out. No, I don't need any God. He's a crutch. I don't want him in my life. I don't need him to invade my heart, my mind, my life, because I'm the king of my own life. Are you upset when Jesus comes? I wonder how many churches get upset when Jesus actually shows up. No, we've been in control for 58 years, and it's our way, not... You know, in the book of Revelation, you know the letters to the seven churches? One of them says, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah, you've heard the verse, I stand at the door and knock. We use this for evangelism. I stand at the door and knock, and we say, oh yes, if you would just open the door of your heart. Specifically, that verse was written to a church saying, hey, look, Jesus is knocking. He's on the outside of his church. Would you let me back in? Because I created the church and now you push me out. It's all about you and not about me. Are you the king of the church or is Christ the king of the church? Are you the king of your life or is Christ the king of your life? This is where it gets to be a problem. We are a Grinch. We are no worse or no better than Herod if we get upset when he comes to invade our territory. I want you to see the second thing. Five here and I've got to keep my progress. You know you're a Grinch if you pretend to be something you are not. I want you to look at the passage in verse 7. So, you know, the wise men have come, Herod has heard, you know, he's upset, but he's still playing along, going, okay, yeah, let's see what happens here. And then in verse 7 it says, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, sending these wise men, he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word for I too may come and worship him. Now you know as well as I do that Herod had no desire to worship. So he's a liar here. But he's playing along. He has a plan. I've got to extinguish, I've got to exterminate this king of the Jews, this new Messiah that's come to take over that which I am controlling. So he summoned these wise men, he sent them out to Bethlehem. You go and see the child, then come back, give me a report, and then I'll go. You know, the Grinch in the movie dressed up like Santa Claus, I can't remember exactly what they called him in the movie, but it was a little different. So he goes dressed up like he's all full of cheer. He enters Whoville while they're all asleep, and rather than bringing gifts, you know, he's pretending. He takes the candy canes out of the children's hands as they're asleep. You know, he starts picking off the poinsettia leaves, every one of them. He picks up this Christmas tree, and he's putting it into a bag to steal it, and he's caught by Cindy Lou Who. And she's like, what are you doing? You're stealing our Christmas tree. And what did he say? He lied. You recall what he said? Oh, no. There was a light out on it, or a couple of lights out on it, something like that effect. I'm going to go and take it away, and I'm going to fix it for you, and I'm going to bring it back. Liar. How bad you lie to children. How bad we are to lie to children and not tell them about Christ during Christmas, too. So we try to pretend that we're something that we're not. And you know, and there are people who will even gather in a church during Christmas and Easter and lie about who they really are. It's unfortunate because God knows whether the truth is in our hearts or not. If we only come to put on a show, yes, I believe in him, but the rest of our days are lived exactly opposite, I question, is our heart really with him? Or is it two sizes too small? He had no desire to worship Christ. He only desired to eliminate him. You know, there's nothing wrong at times with pretending. My kids do so all the time. They'll dress up like Star Wars and play with, you know, lightsabers. They pretend to be doctors or NFL football players, and we pretend. Pretending's all fine and good as long as everybody understands that's what the role you're playing. But when it comes to Christ, there is no pretending that will ever convince Christ himself about where your heart is. You know you're a Grinch when you're really pretending. You know what? You can fool everybody in this room, but you'll never fool God Almighty. What he'd prefer for you to do is just confess your sins to him and receive the grace that he gives you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've been with. Christ didn't come to save perfect people. He came to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I'm the worst. Christ came into the most dark time of the world in order to be the light of the world. Rather than rejecting the light, rather than just pretending that you are okay with the light, why not just embrace the light, admit that you're a sinner, and confess your sins and be drawn into his grace? You know you're a Grinch, like Herod, if you pretend to be something you're not. Herod, rather than just receiving the grace of God, he was rejecting it over and over and over again, just being a deceiver rather than a disciple. You know, the most dangerous area to pretend is in your spiritual life. As a minister, I wonder if I get to see more pretenders than most. I don't know. If I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say, I'll see you on Sunday. Never see them. No, thanks for the visitor phone call. I've been thinking about coming to church. Actually, every Sunday I plan on coming. You've said that for 20 years. Yeah, I was just going to pray about that. I was just going to read my Bible. I was just going to do this, that, and the other. Pretender after pretender after pretender. Appearing to be in love with Jesus, but never really following in love with Jesus. My personal favorite is, nice sermon, Pastor. And the very person I saw asleep the entire time. Or they were just praying for me the entire time. You know, I preach in order that my soul, well, no, let me say it this way. This would be more accurate in my assessment. I study for messages for my own soul. I preach it for your soul. I don't preach it for your compliments or for your criticisms. I preach it that you may be fed the word, that your life would be changed. If you don't take the opportunity to feed on it, challenge it. The reason I'm committed to expository preaching meaning I'm just going to expose what I see in the text. I don't just say a bunch of stuff and go, well, let me see if a verse supports that. I just tell you what I see in the text so that you can grapple with it, because if you don't get right with your Lord, it's between you and him, not between you and I. You know you're a Grinch if you just pretend to be something you're really not. And I pray for a host of people in here to fall on their faces before God and worship the King that has come for your soul. Here's the third thing I want you to see in the passage. You know you're a Grinch, like Herod, if you can't join others in their joy. Look at verse 9. After listening to the King, they went. This is the wise men, they listened to the king, then they went on their way, and behold, the star that had been seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Oh, they were celebrating. The long journey to finally see the king, the child they desired to see the grace in. Verse 11, and going into the house, notice a house, not a manger, going into the house, they saw the child, not infant, where Mary, with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. This toddler that was more than just a child, he was the King Almighty, the creator of the universe. Then they opened their treasures and they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Interesting study about those three gifts, but I don't have time today to expound on that. Verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. Why? Because the Grinch was out. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And verse 15 says, they remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. It's interesting here that Herod knowing where the child was. It's interesting here that the scribes who had to interpret where the child was to be born, Herod asked the scribes and the Pharisees, those who should be following God, those religious leaders, where's this child to be born? And they said, oh, well, the Old Testament says Bethlehem. And so they know all this information, and what do? They stay right where they are. They let the wise men go, and when you see him, just go ahead and come back and let us know where he is, and we'll go worship him too, lying. But rather than joining them in the joy of worship, because when you come into the presence of Christ, it brings you to your knees. You want to give everything that you have to him. And rather than going with them, they stayed right where they are. How many in our world are still hearing of the Christ, but they have no desire to approach where he is, to come and worship and to give to the God who gave them life? Magi went and presented gifts and worship, but they chose not to return to Herod and give the warning because of the warning God gave them in a dream. When they left, they did not go in the same way they came. Joseph, having the dream, took Mary and Jesus and fled to Egypt, fulfilling the prophecy that had been made about them years before. But I wonder how many Grinches there are in our lives, all around us, in our workplaces, in the places we walk, even in our neighborhoods, that people struggle to join others in their joy. Merry Christmas. Don't do that. Happy holidays. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. There is no holidays, just means holy day. So let us be righteously focused on Christ, the true Holy One, so that we'd have something to celebrate. Would you remind the next person who says happy holidays to you, oh, thank you for mentioning about the holy day of Christ. Would you go ahead and speak up? Because it's a holy day. If we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have this time. Just remind them of that. Here's the fourth thing. You know you're a Grinch like Herod if you get infuriated when your plans don't work out. Anybody here get frustrated when things don't work out the way you wanted it to work out? Herod was the Grinch that, it didn't work out the way he planned. Then Herod says in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that they had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem. And in all that region, who were 2 years old and under. So basically, he knew Jesus could have been up to 2 years old. So any child, male child in the land, 2 years old and under, must be slaughtered, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. You know, the Grinch in the cartoon version had a cute little dog named Max, and he got very angry at Max when Max was unable to carry all the packages up the hill and steal all the stuff from Whoville. So much so he wanted to eliminate Max. Herod got infuriated, furious, because the wise men didn't play his game. So angry that this wicked man wanted to kill every child around him. Let's say eliminate, exterminate, destroy any possibility of any king of the Jews, a potential king of the Jews that will take over my rule and reign. You feel the weight of that. We celebrate Christmas. It's so cute. We've got a manger scene and the little baby born. Do you realize when that baby was born, thousands, if not a million babies were killed because of that? Bloodshed everywhere. You can see why some people maybe weren't so excited about Christmas in the first couple of generations there. Because of that Christ child, my baby died. But the reality is, and that's where Jesus came with the gospel, every baby, every adult, every person on this planet would die and go to hell if that baby Christ was not born and lived and then shed his own blood for us. Our plans don't always work out the way we want, and we can get irritated about it. But the scripture says everything worked out exactly like Christ was designed to be, that God had a plan from eternity, and everything worked out exactly as it was supposed to. And if it had not worked out, none of us would have any hope this Christmas. May we celebrate the Savior who was willing to shed his own blood for us. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful I'm not God. Throughout my 44 years of existence, I've had a lot of desires. I've had a will that I've wanted to accomplish. And many things that throughout my time, I wanted it this way and it did not work out. And I'm thankful that it did not work out the way I wanted, because God's way was far greater and the blessing was much better. When things don't work out our way, just rest in God's provision. He is a providential God. He is sovereign, and he sees all where we only see a speck. And we get upset when our speck gets moved, but you got to see the whole canvas of God's glory. Don't be a Grinch when your plans don't work out, because God's plans are perfect. Here's the last one. You know you're a Grinch, like Herod, if your heart has never been changed. Yeah, the Grinch heart did change in the cartoon. It grew three times as big. But look at verse 17. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah and all the other prophets were fulfilling or speaking ahead of time what God's ultimate plan was. And then verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, the sadness. Why? Because these kids were being born. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. They had been killed. It was prophesied years in advance. I want to add verse 19 into this, but when Herod died, when the Grinch died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and it was to bring back the Savior and let him fulfill the desires of God's heart. Grinch had his heart changed, but Herod went to the grave angry. There is no evidence in this passage he ever converted, he ever repented, he ever embraced the true King of the Jews. But what about you? Perhaps the verdict's still out for some of you. Has your heart been converted by the Christ child that has come at Christmas? It's not just about nativity scenes. It's not just about red and green. It's not about lights on your house. All those things are fun. But if you haven't dealt with Christ and accepted him as your Lord and Savior and received his full grace and really put your whole life into his hands, perhaps you're still tempted and teetering on being a Grinch. My prayer for every one of you is that you would not only hear about Christ at Christmas and all the other times, but you would embrace him. You would receive his grace. And then you'd be so moved to go invite everybody else to the grace that Christ provides. Christmas is a holy day. Christ is the Holy One. Where we are sinful, he is holy. And without him, there is no hope. But with him, he takes us and transforms us. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you're unsure, maybe you've been pretending and you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, I just pray that you would give your whole life to him. After the service, as we sing our last song, I'm going to have a prayer team up here. A couple of people over on each side that they'll be willing to pray for you. Make sure it's right this Christmas, your relationship with him. Perhaps you're interested in joining the church and becoming more formal with us and saying, yes, this is where I want to worship. Don't let this Christmas pass without really getting things right with him. Let us pray, and I'll have the band come up and lead us in our final song. Father, thank you for today. We've been able to look at your word, and Father, there's so much more there in that passage. I pray that the people would spend more time meditating upon those truths. But let us not just look at it for academic purposes, but Father, let us truly let this word speak to our hearts and help us to adjust. Where it reproves us, let us adjust. Let it teach us how to live in all righteousness. Father, I pray if we sometimes slip into a Grinch-type, Herod-type attitude, I pray that you'd correct us and you'd receive us and forgive us. Let us be grace givers this Christmas and beyond. And for those who need the grace of Christ to transform their lives so they would truly be saved and follow in believers' baptism, Father, I pray they'd even make that decision today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this final song.